Welcome to God and Country Radio. Weekend program discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in the light of biblical theology. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. On this week's program, it's back to talking about climate change, the global warming movement. A week doesn't go by without some new story about climate change ideologues blaming the weather on climate change, or working to get rid of gas-powered cars, gas stoves, fossil fuels. Additionally, climate change is now being used as a wedge to push Marxist ideology, so that now there is climate justice, climate equity, climate gender equality, and all of the wars and the immigration is caused by climate change. Every time I come across an article about climate change or climate policy, I cut it and paste it into a file. And over the years, I've compiled a huge list of articles. In fact, you can go to any conservative website and search their climate change article database, and you'll get quite an earful. But here's my contention in a nutshell. I believe that Christians, the Christian church, the Christian religion needs to oppose and refute the global warming movement. It's a biblical Titus chapter 1 mandate that the ministers of the gospel must exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. For there are many rebellious men and empty talkers and deceivers who must be silenced because they're upsetting whole families, teaching things they shouldn't teach for the sake of sordid gain. Unquote, the climate change movement is a religion, just like Taoism or Buddhism or Shintoism or pantheism or naturism or paganism. It's not based on science, it's based on faith. It superimposes a metaphysical, ideological worldview on the natural data. It puts forth a different gospel objective, a different mission, a different number one world problem, and number one solution. It even puts forth a different apocalypse from the message Christians believe God has revealed through Scripture. For secular humanists, the religion of climate change has become a substitute morality and a substitute purpose for life. Having rejected the Christian message, the alternative is to live for nature and Mother Earth, even to the point of making up a false crisis in order to believe one is saving the planet. This happened in the ancient world, in ancient religions, and it's happening today. In the religion of climate change, to work for the environment is salvation, and to not work for the environment is damnation. The moral pollution of sexual immorality, theft, murder, are de-emphasized, and environmental pollution is overemphasized. It's a very subtle inversion that happens as America abandons God and God's rational guiding truth. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 11, as a nation changed gods when they were not gods, but my people have changed their glory for that which doesn't profit. And it's true, the land is polluted, but it's a moral pollution in the human heart. Isaiah 24:5, the earth is also polluted by its inhabitants, for they transgress laws, violate statutes, and break the everlasting covenant. And Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 2, you pollute the land with your harlotries and your wickedness. And the prophets even go on to say that the real pollution in the world is the religion of naturism itself. Jeremiah 3:9, because of the lightness of her harlotry, she polluted the land and committed adultery with stones and trees, which is a reference to the ancient practice of worshiping nature. That actually pollutes the land. Now, seriously, these climate alarmists and politicians are infatuated with the weather. The ultimate shallow conversation on any elevator. This is their priority. This is their life mission. They strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. They neglect the weightier matters of the law. And yet, this is the pathetic irony of the whole thing. There is no provable man-made global warming. For the last 40 years, at the beginning of every decade, climate alarmists have said we only have 10 years left, and they've been proven wrong each time. Their alarmism is all conjecture based upon flawed computer projections, because the data inputted and the assumptions about CO2 are ideological myths. But all that doesn't matter, because climate alarmism is not about scientific fact. It's about the religion of naturism. And this is why Christendom must expose and refute it. However, that obvious conclusion should not be taken for granted, because there are some in professing Christendom who claim that the church shouldn't comment on climate alarmism because it's not a gospel issue. And since the public is thoroughly indoctrinated into climate alarmism, any word that the church says against it may cause us to lose a hearing with the public. So apparently we should just go along with it, or at least ignore it, to not create any barriers against the gospel. After all, the world might call Christians climate deniers, anti-science, backward. So we should go along with the science of the day for the sake of not giving offense. So the argument goes. And actually, this is the same reason why some professing Christians have said we need to go along with evolution, the false cosmology for the origin of the creation. And this is the same reason why some say we should go along with LGBTQ and transgenderism. But their error is they have a very limited view of the gospel, as if it's only about Jesus being the Savior. And he is, but what is he saving us from? If he's to be the Savior, that means choosing other people and things not to be the Savior. Coming to Christ means repenting and turning from naturism, pantheism, paganism. And Christian sanctification is all about coming to have a Genesis chapter 3 biblical view of both tending the earth and subduing the earth. And Christ's commission to his people wasn't just to teach about the cross of Christ, but to make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all that Jesus commanded. The New Testament compels all Christians to teach and defend all truth. Theological truth, political truth, mathematical truth, scientific truth, truth in natural revelation, because the Bible has something to say about all truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3, the church is to be the pillar and the ground of the truth, and the world should look to the church for the truth. We're to always tell the truth and leave the results up to God. And when we tell a truth in any area, in the short term, it may hurt the church, but in the long term, it always builds the church. Because by telling the truth, God's word is proven to be right when the culture is wrong. And if God's word is proven right in temporal earthly things, people can trust God's word in eternal matters. But if the church jumps on the wrong bandwagon, communism, transgenderism, environmentalism, feminism, racism, fascism, when those ideologies collapse, the name of Christ and his people are discredited. I actually believe more people will be attracted to God's word and be saved by the church refuting errors in the culture, as long as it's done in love and done in a proper balance. Well, having said all that by way of introduction, what I want to discuss is a new anti-global warming documentary that just came out in March entitled Climate the Movie, The Cold Truth. It was produced by Martin Durkin, a libertarian British journalist and television producer. Back in 2007, he produced the documentary The Great Global Warming Swindle. He is hated by the left as a chief climate change denier. And now in this new documentary, he updates the situation with interviews from leading climate scientists who refute global warming ideology. John Clauser, Nobel Prize winner in physics. Stephen Goddard, a Los Alamos geologist. William Happer, Princeton University physicist, Richard Lindzen, a meteorologist at Harvard, Stephen Koonin, NYU physicist, and Patrick Moore, co-founder of Greenpeace, and the list goes on of scientists who speak up to refute the fake science of climate change. Now, what's fascinating about this documentary is that these scientists don't pull any punches. They don't hold to the position that there is some man-made global warming, but it's not the crisis that the alarmists are making it out to be. No, these scientists state that the whole man-made global warming movement is a myth. It's a scam. They don't yield an inch to the other side. And given what I've learned, that's the only position that's going to win the day. What I've noticed is that many conservative journalists and commentators, even conservative news sites, have yielded to the social pressure and are agreeing with man-made global warming. But then they try to downplay the apocalyptic models. They may actually be doing this as a strategy to undermine climate activists. Here's an interesting article. Climate change activists despise these new commentators who agree with global warming but will not agree with the apocalyptic predictions. They call these people new deniers. Quote, paranoid about losing the rhetorical debate over climate change, leftist panic mongers are expanding the definition of climate deniers to include those who agree with their overall broad contention that the climate is changing, but question the dire and catastrophic consequences of it. Now they have contrived another term, new deniers, to describe those who have embraced the climate change theory, but doubt climate change solutions, or claim that global warming might be a good thing. Well, regardless of the reaction, agreeing with the CO2 global warming premise is still yielding ground to a lie. And it's better for the public to hear the truth that the whole thing is a scam. By the way, in addition to this new documentary by Martin Durkin, which you can watch for free on YouTube, it's about an hour and 19 minutes, check out the website co2coalition.org, where you can get all of the fun facts about climate change and how CO2 is not a pollutant, it's necessary for life. The irony of the climate movement is that if we want to be green, we need to produce more CO2, not less. That's a proven fact. The more CO2 in the atmosphere, the more plant life thrives on Earth. The greener the planet becomes. What a twist. Plant life is starving for more CO2. We are at a CO2 low in the history of mankind. CO2 in the past has been as high as 7,000 parts per million, and it's now at 430 parts per million. And if it falls below 150 parts per million, every green thing on Earth will die. So it's really unfortunate that we don't have enough fossil fuels to burn to raise CO2 levels. So climate alarmists are actually saying the opposite of what's true. Their very claims are hurting the environment, and that's the way these things always turn out. This is one of my long-standing axioms, that in the end, any ungodly ism that claims to help people will always destroy people, like Marxism or transgenderism, you name it. And if CO2 is good, ungodly climate ideology ends up being, as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, haters of the good. Or Isaiah chapter 5, calling good evil and evil good. These people do it in material science just like they do it in sexual morality. But I'm digressing here. This new documentary, Climate: The Cold Truth, begins by explaining the subject. Quote, this is a story of how an eccentric environmental scare grew into a powerful global industry. This is a story of self-interest and big government funding. This is a story of the corruption of science. This is the story of the bullying and intimidation of anyone who challenges climate alarm. And this is the story of an assault on individual freedom. Then the documentary is divided into 8 segments. First, the science of temperature. The current temperatures are actually colder now than in the past. We are at the end of an ice age period. Temperatures rose in the 1930s, they dropped again in the 1970s, and they rose again slightly in the 1990s. But on average, there has been no long-term change. The second and the third segments of the documentary are about the science of CO2. CO2 is not a factor in temperature changes on Earth. The activity of the sun is the cause. But for climate alarmists, the sun cannot be considered. It must be CO2 emissions. All the climate models get it wrong because they operate assuming CO2 warms the planet. Also, the polar ice caps are not melting. And there are no more extreme weather events now than in the past. No more hurricanes, no more wildfires, no more tornadoes. For decades, it's been put into the heads of the public that every time the weather is bad, it's due to man-made climate change and CO2, but that is a falsehood. Even the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, admits that there has been no provable increase in adverse weather conditions based on man-made climate change. Patrick Moore, the co-founder of Greenpeace, quote, "There is no truth to the idea that the Earth is warmer now than it has been in the past. It's a lie. There's no truth that CO2 is higher now than it should be. That's a lie." Segment 4 in the documentary is called The Consensus. The reason scientists are agreeing with the climate change narrative is because the government has given out billions of dollars in grants for scientists to write about climate change. If you do a study on some social issue, you better put into the grant application that you're also studying climate change, or you won't get funded. Quote, "Climate alarmism is a godsend for scientists who are supported by government grants. It justifies their existence. And your funding ends if you don't find evidence of climate change, and that totally corrupts the system. There's a financial interest to play up the alarm, and if you don't play the game, you will be ostracized by your peers." So that's the reason for the consensus. Follow the money. The government is paying out billions for climate change, and so climate change they will get. Even Biden's Deficit Reduction Act, $750 billion, was actually the Green New Deal in disguise. And it handed out millions to Democrat, environmentalist, and ideological constituency. Segment number 5 is called The Climate Bandwagon. How climate change has become a whole industry employing millions of people on the taxpayers' expense. And if there's no climate change crisis, these people no longer have a reason to be employed. Segments number 6 and 7 are about the politics of climate change. The growth of the climate movement is not just explained by those making money off of the climate industry. The broader appeal is the leftist Marxist politics that can be advanced by climate change. It's a wedge that can be used against free market capitalism. If there is a big crisis, it takes big government to save us all. Climate change is a wonderful way to increase government power by appealing to an existential threat. And the climate change consensus is a weapon used to fight for bigger government and social spending. And with climate change, everything you do can be controlled by the government because what you do might risk the survival of mankind. And anyone who disagrees with state policy can be labeled and prosecuted as being a threat to human safety. Segment 8 is about climate versus the poor, which is all about how the elites in their climate change movement hurt the third world, because the poor need more oil and gas and fossil fuels for fertilizer, which is all being opposed by ivory chair environmentalists in the West. So the conclusion of the documentary is that common people must rise up. There needs to be an anti-establishment movement. But as Christians, we realize that that's not the solution. That will only result in more problems. The solution is always to preach the truth, to preach the gospel. The truth of mankind's sin before God and the salvation that comes through Christ that actually has the unseen effect of pulling the rug out from under the basic premises of the climate movement. Puts the emphasis and the energy back where it should be on personal repentance. That the cause for all of our problems is not the temperature, but personal moral pollution. That's actually a good statement. I should put it on the sign in front of my church. So anyway, I recommend this new documentary, Climate, The Cold Truth. As I mentioned, you can watch it for free on YouTube. I'm actually showing it at my church this Sunday night at 6 p.m. Now, someone would ask, you know, why would a church show a secular documentary? Well, because the whole documentary illustrates and gives current commentary on biblical truth, which we can discuss. Let me give you two significant biblical lessons we learn from the climate alarmism movement. First is that people are sinners. People are by nature corrupt and evil, Romans chapter 3. They have all turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good, no, not one. With their tongues they keep deceiving. Destruction and misery are in their path. The way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Science is run by scientists who are people. And scientists can be sinners, like everyone else. They will lie, they will cheat, they will steal from taxpayers so they can get a paycheck. And truth becomes negotiable when it comes to looking out for oneself. But this biblical worldview of man's sin is not fully believed or accepted by the public. And one reason the general public buys into the global warming scam is because they really don't believe so many scientists and politicians could possibly be selling a lie for self-serving reasons. The public has too much of a Pollyannish view of the world, but history has shown that the zeitgeist of the age, the spirit of the age in many centuries, has been a lie. And this brings me to my second point. The fact that so many citizens, the media, academia, and politicians are willing to go along with the false narrative consensus, the mass psychosis, the groupthink of climate change, that is a harbinger of bad things to come. The biblical prophecies is that someday the whole world will go after an antichrist, globalist government, and a leader who will probably claim to be the savior of some made-up crisis. Revelation 13:8, all who dwell on the earth will worship the beast. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false in order that they may be judged who did not believe the truth but took pleasure in wickedness. And there are many aspects to this deluding influence. I believe what we're seeing in the global warming hysteria and even in the COVID hysteria, is how the public can believe a lie and then even persecute those who don't go along with the lie, claiming that deniers are an existential threat to the survival of mankind. So that's why climate alarmism is so alarming. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can get the links to my extended video versions of this program at my YouTube and Rumble channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. Again, the website is godandcountryradio.org. And from there, you can correspond with me by email. Thanks for listening. Thanks for loving the truth. Stand firm in the truth and do not be deceived. And may Jesus Christ reign. May his will be done on earth as it is in heaven.